The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. Man alive. I closed my eyes just for a second so I could hear the voices, because I know we're just 1 week closer to being together in this house where I am right now, which is Soma Community Church. Guys, if you're joining on our podcast and you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor John Nelson. I'm the lead pastor of Soma, and I'm so glad that you've joined us virtually today. Very, very, very soon, I hope that we're able to come back in the house and I can hear you yell and also with you. If you didn't get the chance to do it, I know and be prepared for that next time I say peace be with you. Hey, there we go. That's good. You were ready this time. Well, listen, I'm so glad that you are here. Soma Community Church is just a small local church here in the neighborhood to serve Lincoln University, to serve our neighborhood, to serve our local schools. We want to be the body of Christ. Soma means body, the body of Christ where we are. And right now, as we're walking through the Rona, there's a lot of things we got. Like, if you can look, I got the Rona beard going on, Rona hair going on. I know. I need to get a fresh cut. We're opening up slowly but surely, so I'm going to get that. But as we talk about it, I'm noticing that people are falling back into sins and back into things that are binding them up. And listen, I want you to have one thing. The thing that you can have in Christ. The Bible tells you that he will make you free and you shall be free indeed. And I want you to have something that Jesus offers freely to everybody, which is freedom. Say it with me. One, two, three. Freedom. That's exactly right. Freedom is what I want you to have. I want you to have freedom from. We've talked about freedom from envy, freedom from worry, freedom from so many different things, freedom from lust, freedom from so many things in your life. And I want you to have freedom from fear. We're going to talk about freedom from fear today. Matter of fact, there's a book I was reading not too long ago, a guy named John Hunter. In his book, Knowing God's Secret, writes this. I'm going to read this quote. He says, medical science now recognizes that between 60 and 90% of our sicknesses are caused by such emotions as fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, and hatred. Now, I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know. And honestly, I don't know the source of those figures. I just thought that was such an interesting quote. But listen, I will say that if these figures are even close or close to accurate, then we need to learn how to deal with the way we feel. We cannot let our feelings rule us. As believers, we have to learn how to find freedom from such emotions like fear, like worry, like depression and bitterness, like anger and stress and loneliness and guilt. We have to find ways to find freedom. And in this series called Freedom From, I want you to begin to break the chains in your life and so that you can have freedom and run in freedom everywhere. And so today we're going to talk about having freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. Now, I think over the last couple of nights, we've had a few thunderstorms that have happened, and it's been interesting. But, you know, I always think about kids when thunderstorms happen. They kind of get scared, right? It depends on the household they're in. They kind of get scared. And you know, I always think of mamas and daddies when we're tucking the kids in. The kids are kind of freaking out. They hear the thunder. They see the lightning. They see it through the window, and they're not sure what to do. And you get close to the light. You're about to turn off. You're like, night, buddy. Night, baby. I love you. Right? And they're like, daddy, will you stay with me tonight? Which is always hard because you want to snuggle up with them. And I mean, I'm one of those dudes that once I'm horizontal, it's a wrap. So like if I lay down next to them, I'm going to sleep, right? But I'm like, hey, listen, I love you. I'm gonna lay with you a little bit. I'll rub your back, but then I got to go. And I remember one of my kids one time, they were really, really little. I was just like, hey, I got to go. I love you. I tuck you in. I rub their back. And every time I try to get up, they would wake up again and look at me like, daddy, where are you going? I'm like, no, I almost was gone. And finally, like, listen, I got to sleep, you know, in the bed with mommy. We snuggle there. And I'm sure later on that night, you're going to end up in my bed anyway. So whatever. And they try to barter with me. Like, what about mommy coming up? Like, no, well, could you stay? No. And finally they're like, well, what about like sissy or papa? And I was like, oh, well, no, we got to be able to conquer this fear of the storms. You're safe. You're okay. And that's the thing. We all experience fear. That's all that really was in that moment. Fear was going on. And Clarence McCartney says this: from the cradle to the grave, fear cast its baleful shadow. I think that's so awesome. So let's talk about fear today. Let's talk about fear today and what the Bible has to say about how it can help us walk through fear. Amen. Can we do that? All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a soul tattoo. If you don't know what that is, you've never been with us. A soul tattoo is one sentence that if you decide to click off, if you decide to go somewhere else, if you decide not to keep up with our network, and that's fine, then you at least got this out of our sermon. And here it is. I'm going to put it at the bottom of the screen. I want you to see it and hear it and dig in with it. It says this: the next time you feel fear grip your heart, change your focus to eternity. Let me say it again. The next time you feel fear grip your heart, change your focus to eternity. That is how you find freedom from fear. Why don't I pray, and then I'll give you some details on how to do that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the reality that you are God and that you give us the ability to conquer fear and to continue to move forward. Jesus, I ask, I beg that you help us to not only be free from fear, but free towards you, so that we can do the work you called us to do. Free us from anything that binds us and holds us down. Free us from anything that would take us back to where we do not belong. Free us from anything that would put us in a position that would not honor you. Jesus, free us to do your work. And Father, I ask in this short time that we have today that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my strength and my redeemer, in whom I trust and in whom we trust. And in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody who agrees with that would say, amen and amen. Thank you so much. So let's just dig in the Bible. And listen, I'm just going to tell you this now. I got a lot of verses. I'm going to be jumping all over the Bible. I'm going to put them up on the screen. Now, if you're really fast with your Bible, and I hope you are, I got mine right here. I want you to have yours right here. You can flip over there with me. Kids, I know you guys have been going through Soma Kids over on our YouTube channel. And by the way, if you do have kids and you're just kind of getting used to us, jump over to YouTube. We got a lesson over there for them that we've been going through for weeks. And I cannot wait to see what God, really the fruit that he brings out of that. So like and subscribe our pages, and you can find out when we post another thing over on the YouTube page. But go on over there, and we want you to really just dig into what that is. But kids, I know you guys have been memorizing the books of the New Testament, so this will be a good drill for you today as we bounce all around the New and Old Testament. And I'm going to try my best to put all the scriptures on the screen so you can get that, guys. We want you to dig in with us. But I want you to know what the Bible says about fear. In preparing the sermon, I went all throughout the Bible, and here's the thing. The Bible gives three different types of fear that we have in our life. Number one is holy fear. Everybody say holy fear. Kind of like holy field, but holy fear. That's good. That's good. We read in Deuteronomy 6 and 13 this. It's the Lord your God who you shall fear. In him you serve, and by his name you shall swear. We're to fear his wrath and sin if we don't accept his free gift. If we don't receive that free gift of salvation in this world through faith in Jesus Christ. But if we've been saved, we have a natural fear of disappointing the wonderful, loving God that we serve. That is, we no longer have a fear of him, but we have a fear of hurting him, if that makes sense. I remember as a kid, I was out with some friends, and it was I'm in high school, and you know, your friends are like, yo, hey, we're gonna go out and do this, that, and the third. I'm like, hey, no. And I remember they're like, no, you can do this. And I remember one of my friends, I won't name his name, my wife knows exactly what I'm talking about, said, well, what are you afraid? You're gonna get in trouble. And I said, no, I'm afraid that my parents will find out and be disappointed, because they always warn me that I represent their name. And I represent my Father in heaven's name. So when I do something, when I sin, when I willfully go out and break the commands of God, I'm going out and disappointing him. And that's the reason why I don't want to sin. You see, that's holy fear. But let's go on to the next one. The next one, the other fear the Bible talks about is called healthy fears. Healthy fears. During the Great Depression, Franklin D. Roosevelt said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, which sounds amazing, doesn't it? Like, I remember reading that, like, yeah, that's amazing. It's a crock-a-hooey. It's not true. It's not true. Jesus taught us that there are some things that we ought to be fearful. He said in Matthew 10 and 28, he says this, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." In addition, there's always certain normal things that you should fear in real life, right? Like rattlesnakes. Poisonous spiders. I remember when we first moved to Jefferson City, we found a brown recluse nest in our house. You should be fearful of the darn thing, right? Murderers, drunk drivers, be fearful of them. Those are okay. Terrorists, politicians, all of those things are things that you should be fearful of, because being fearful of them is a healthy thing. That's completely okay. But a smart electrician better have a healthy fear of electricity, or else they're not going to be an electrician very long, right? An explosive ordnance technician, same thing. And parents, we teach our children to have fear of certain things. You know, we go to the oven and we go, "Hey, that can burn you. Don't put the knife in the socket. That'll kill you," right? We teach them to have that because we want them to know a healthy fear. There are some legitimate fears, healthy fears, and there are holy fears, right? So we got those two down. But there also are this third type of fear called hurtful fears. Say that with me. Hurtful fears. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, he says this, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control." This is kind of our focus verse for the whole passage today. There are fears of the Lord and there are natural fears, but there are two types of fears those are the fears that are holy and healthy. But what's harmful is the spirit of fear. What's harmful is a spirit of fear, when fear controls us instead of controlling our fears, right? And when fear controls you and everything you do, when the spirit of fear is when we allow ourselves not to trust in God, we face the future and its cousin is a fear turns into worry, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. As a matter of fact, on our YouTube page, you can go back and watch that. Why do we worry? Remember we said we worry because of fear of something in the future and we're not sure of the outcome. You see, fear is a cousin to worry. If we allow ourselves to be beset with a spirit of fear, then our fears will victimize us, neutralize us, they will immobilize us, and then they will imprison you, which is the opposite of freedom. That's the thing. They will not free you. You've never seen a person that is full of fear that's walking around like, "It's a wonderful morning." It's not a thing. You're not free when you're bogged down with fear. So what's the source of hurtful fears? Well, Paul said that it isn't God that gives us a spirit of fear. He says, actually, God doesn't do that. So if we fear, it isn't a hurtful fear does not come from God. It comes from Satan and our own sinful nation. Satan himself loves getting God's people to fret and fear and to not trust God. So how does he use the spirit of fear against us? How does he use the spirit of fear against us? First, he does this. And this is kind of the point. If you're writing notes, I want you to write this down because I want you to have this. This is what Satan has done for years and years and years. Fear makes your life miserable and makes you a lousy advertisement for Christianity. You're a lousy ad. In 1 John 4:18, it says, "Fear has torment. It will torment you." In Romans 8:15, it says, "The spirit of bondage, the spirit of fear is again to fear even more." Have you ever seen a worrywart who is happy? You ever seen somebody who just walks around wringing their hands going, "Well, if I do this, if I do that, oh my goodness, this is going to be crazy. This is going to be crazy." No, I rest my case. None of them are happy. They're never happy. That's the thing. You're always being, you're being bogged down. And here's the thing. People live their lives with fear. I've heard of people that are misers. I remember being called a miser as a kid. I would never spend any of my money. And the reason I wouldn't spend any of my money ever is because I had a fear of losing money and being poor. So I would just hoard wealth. I'd hoard wealth all over the place. That's the thing. Being a miser isn't godly. He asks us to be generous. There's so many things that we do in our life that because of fear, we actually, it ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy because we end up poor, maybe poor in spirit and not just poor in money. Poor in relationships, but not poor in money. Poor in life, but not poor in money. Fill in the blank for your relationships, your life, and other things, not just money. Fear immobilizes you. It makes you a lousy advertisement for Christianity. But number two, it does this. Satan uses fear to try to immobilize you from action. In Matthew 25, Jesus has this parable. It's an amazing parable. It's a parable of the talent. So here, I'm going to modernize it for you if you haven't heard it before. Jesus comes up, a master of a house comes up. He's got some servants. He's got three servants. And he goes to the first servant and goes, yo, you've been good. I'm going to give you I'm going to give you $100. While I'm gone, I want you to do something with it. Goes to the second one. He's like, listen, I'm going to cut you 50. I got you. He goes to the last one. He's like, hey, you're kind of new. I don't know you well. So I'm just going to give you a quick 25 real quick. Boom. Here you go. Do something with it, right? He goes, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to come back. You can read this in Matthew 25. It's amazing. I'm going to come back. So he leaves. Boom. He's gone. He comes back. And the master of the house says, hey, what'd you guys do with the money? I wanted you to do something with it. What did you do? So the first one goes out and goes, yo, I took it. I invested it. I flipped it. Now I got double. Here's $200. He gave his master the $200 back. Said, look what I made for you. The master's like, yo, great job. The second guy comes up and he goes, master, you gave me $50. I went out. I invested it. I got this. I did that. And here you go. Here's $100. I've doubled what you gave me. And the master's like, yo, wow, amazing. Again, read the Bible. It sounds different, but this is exactly what's going on. And the third one comes in. He goes, listen, master, you're a fearful man. I really was scared of you. So here's what I chose to do. I buried it. I buried your treasure. So here's your 25 back. Sorry, I didn't really make anything with it. There you go. And here's the thing. When that happened, the master was furious. Now, a lot of us in our world are like, man, that master was greedy. But no. No, he was furious at the third one. When he asked the servant what he'd done, he said, why didn't you invest my money? And the guy literally says in Matthew 25:25, he says this, quote, I was afraid and I hid your talent in the earth. I dug a hole and put it down there because I was scared. Don't let fear immobilize you. Let fear paralyze you from the action you've been called to. When God says to you, why don't you go teach that Soma kids class? Why don't you go and lead that Bible study? When God says, why don't you go and equip yourself to do the ministry God's called you to do? Stop letting fear immobilize you. God says, test me and see if I won't bless you all the more. When God tells you to go give something to that person over there, you're like, but that's the last $20 I have. Go give it. When God tells you to be faithful in your tithing, be faithful in your attendance, be faithful in your giving, be generous in who you are with your times, your talents, your treasures, your testimony, and your temple, do those things. Because he says, I want to give you so much more. But Satan will come and whisper in your ear. He'll go, but what if God doesn't come through for you? Satan will come back and go, but what if God just leaves you hanging? And through that fear, you're going to miss out on one of the greatest joys of the Christian life. Satan will use fear to keep you from acting on faith when God speaks to your heart to do something and tells you clearly to do. But number three, Satan does this. Satan will seek to use fear to keep you from sharing your faith and making a bold stand for Christ. Fear is the number one, Christian, right here. Fear is the number one reason Christians don't tell others about Christ. We're afraid of letting coworkers know what we stand for. We're afraid of talking to neighbors about Jesus. We're afraid to invite friends to go to church. Heck, we're afraid to tag them in a post and go, yo, jump on my social media church. Why? Because we're afraid what people might think of us. But the writer of Proverbs says this, the fear of man brings a snare. We talked about that last week, what a snare is. Something that will snare, that will hold you, that will choke you, that will dig into your skin and create festering. A snare is never, never good. But lastly, Satan will try to use fear to diminish your trust in God. People in fear have fears that their kids might not return, or they'll lose their job, or one of their loved ones will die and come down with a serious degree, or the fear of fire or tornado or terrorism or, you know, fill in the blank. What we're all doing is when we succumb to our fears about the future, we're not trusting in the God of the future. When we succumb to our fears of the future, we're not trusting in the God of the future, the God that promises that he will guide our lives and take care of us, that he will do all of these things. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean. Everybody say that with me. Don't lean. There you go. On your own understanding and in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who trust in the trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the water, who sends his roots out by the stream, who does not stream, who does not fear when the heat comes or the leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. These Near Eastern metaphors that you need to hear right now simply mean, if you trust the Lord God, he's going to bless you real good. That's what it means. He's going to bless you real good. He's going to walk with you. He's going to sustain you. So how, say it with me, how, Pastor John, can I overcome fear? Because that all sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds amazing, but Pastor John, you're not in my head. You're not in my life. You don't have my background. You don't know me. So, okay, cool. That's fair. You don't know me either. So let's talk about it. Because God doesn't want us to live in a spirit of fear. We talked about that in 2 Timothy. He doesn't want us to experience terrors, be under bondage, but he wants us to overcome our fears. He wants us to live in freedom today. So what can you do not to feel fearful? You could do this. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Psalm 55 and 22 says this: cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He shall never suffer righteous to be moved. He shall never force you to be moved. Listen, I'm not a fisherman. I don't look like one, act like one. I haven't been fishing in years. I probably need to go back to it. But when you cast, you take the rod and you push the little release button, you go, and you toss it out there. But here's the thing, in casting, even that metaphor falls apart because you're still holding onto the rod. He says, throw the whole thing. Throw the whole thing in the water, right? Some of you guys have seen the meme of the guy trying to cast the reel and his whole body falls in the water. That's what he's talking about. Throw the whole thing. Throw it all away, right? You're supposed to hurl your cares to the only one who can actually handle your cares. So many times we want to hurl our cares at our family and our friends. They can't handle it. I mean, it's good for them to hear. They can empathize with you. They can lift you up in prayers, but they're giving you to the one who can actually handle it. So what will happen? He will sustain you. It's what the Bible says. He will sustain you. He won't let you be moved. He won't let the burden knock you over so you won't recover. In other words, he's going to take care of you, so do not fear. Do not fear. The second thing is take refuge in him. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, David proclaims that he will not fear anyone because it says in verse 5, he says this: for the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. Here, David reminds himself and me that there's a safe place that we can go when we feel fearful. I remember as a child playing in our neighborhood. And if you're in the Midwest for 35 seconds, you know that the weather can change, I don't know, today, tomorrow, next hour, next minute. It's just kind of ridiculous. And so I'm outside playing with my friends, and we're playing baseball. Never forget it. We're playing baseball up at this church. And all of a sudden, you see this one lone cloud come out, and then the sky just turns black. You know what I'm talking about? That Midwestern just, it's all black all of a sudden, and I freak out. And my home's the closest. I'm like, let's go. So we all dip. Just, run as fast as we can. We get on our bikes. We ride our bikes as fast as we can. Get back to my house. And here's the reason. I ran to my house. I jumped to the garage, and we all just kind of soaking wet. But why did I run home? Why didn't I run to the church? Well, the church was locked, so I couldn't get in. But I ran home because I knew there was a place of safety and security. I knew that if something were to go down, I had a structure there that could sustain me. I knew where I was safe. David says, in the day of trouble, God will keep you safe. Take refuge in him. Do you go to him for refuge when you're scared? Do you run to him when you're scared, when you have fear? That's what he says. God says, come to me. How do you do that? By going to him in prayer. By seeking his face, by confessing your sin, by pursuing him to a place of worship at church where God can and his people meet, where his word is preached. Listen, that's the reason why if you go to SOMA, I'm always like, be here on Sunday mornings. I know it's virtual. I know it's weird, but be here so you can chat it up with me in the comment section. I'm there right now so we can talk, so we can chop it up and kind of figure out where you are in your life. Text us. Be in a gospel community. Be a place where we can all seek the Father together. But the third thing he says this is replace fearful thoughts with thoughts of God. God has given us a way to keep fear from paralyzing us. He has. He really has. It involves changing our focus from the things that are causing us fear to God. Right? Like that's what it is. When we looked at Philippians 4, It was at 4:68 a few weeks ago. We talked about worry. I want you to look at it again. I want to hear what it says. It says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. I love these verses. I love these verses because they promise us that if we can cast all of our anxieties, all of our fears on God in prayer, then our hearts and minds will be guarded by the peace of God. Our hearts and minds will be guarded by the peace of God, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that doesn't make sense, a peace that brings God, that God brings to those and offers, and that he offers all of that are anxious. And he says, I will take your burdens. I will take your fear. I got it. Paul teaches us that we should, everybody say the word should think about instead of all the things that are causing us fear. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, loving, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. When we ruminate on our fears, the fruit will be stress, unrest, ulcers, sleeplessness. When we meditate on God's promises and his character, eventually those fears will be replaced. Are you meditating on God? Where do you find God's promises and how do you discover God's character? I know it sounds dumb and pedantic and you're like, oh, Pastor, here. I had somebody call me this week and go, Pastor John, I don't hear God speak. And I'm like, you know, the easiest way I hear God speak. And they're like, what? I said, I go to a mirror and I read his word out loud. He speaks right here. 365 times, once a day, God says, do not fear. Literally, 365 times in this book, God says, do not fear. Are you listening to him? 365 times he tells you, don't fear. I'm here with you. Which leads me to my last point. Keep an eye on eternity. Keep an eye on eternity. One of the reasons we fear is that we forget that life is not all it is. Every single one of us is created for eternity. Whether you're a Christian or not, if you're watching this right now, know that you are created for eternity. Rick Warren says, death for Christians, I love this, death for Christians is a transfer, a promotion. It's on to better things, no more problems. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Let me say that again. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You don't know how to live until you're ready to die. Only a fool would go through life totally unprepared for something that all of us have to go through. We all know it's inevitable. Why are you not prepared for it? Why have you not done the things to prepare for it? You're going to die. I know you probably didn't jump on this stream today to hear that, but I'm going to tell you the truth to your face. You're going to die. I'm going to die. And if you have received Christ Jesus, listen, that's just an upgrade. It's like being in coach and all of a sudden they're like, you come on up to business class. Hey, except for this is much better than business class or first class. It's all of that. It's my own private airplane. And see, the Bible tells me in Revelation 21:4, one of the most comforting verses of all the Bible. Matter of fact, my son is named out of this passage right here. It says, God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Christian, listen. Listen, it should make you a little bit homesick to know that when we finally get home, there's no more tears. There's no more pain. None of that is happening. Matter of fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he says this, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul says, the sufferings on this earth are temporary. They're temporary. And that's why I started off with a soul tattoo and I want to land the plane with it is that the next time you feel fear grip your heart, change your focus to eternity. Change your focus to something beyond you. Don't look at it and go, man, I can't do this anymore. Stop. Matter of fact, the question really is, are you ready for the eternal? Like if you die today, do you know what your destiny will be? And I know it's easy to just go, oh yeah, Pastor John, I know. But if you have If I have no doubt about mine, none. Not because I'm good, because the Bible says that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That's why. Have you done this? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you? Have you come over to Jesus and said, I give it all. I surrender all. I hope so, because if not, all the hope and the help and the protection of the scriptures and promise won't be in effect. All the things we talked about today don't help you. Listen, the stark contrast Jesus paints in John chapter 3 says this: whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Yay! Like, for me, I'm like, yay, turn up moment, yay, right? But whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. You should fear. Listen to that holy fear. You should fear the wrath of God. If you've ever put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, this is a holy fear that we've talked about before. But if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can claim the promise that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, gave you, that you'll have eternal life. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life. Claim that promise, guys. Claim that promise and thus claim your freedom, that you can walk out. Now, listen, every prisoner that's ever walked out of prison still struggles with some of the past and what they've dealt with, and that's okay. Jesus will walk with you. The church will walk with you. But I just want you to take away that you can have freedom from your fear. And Christian, if you're walking in fear, turn your eyes toward eternity. Turn your eyes back into his word and trust his word to guide you through it. Turn your eyes to a Bible-loving church that will walk with you and help you navigate those fears and push you back to the Father. But the things you should take away, four quick things I want you to hear once again. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Leave it with him. Take refuge in his secure arms. Replace fearful thoughts with thoughts about God and his character. Keep your eye on eternity. Why don't you pray with me? Father God, I thank you so much for the reality that you not only are God and good, but that you are absolutely amazing. Jesus, I humbly ask that you give us not a spirit of fear, because you don't provide that for us, but a spirit of power, a testimony that is beyond all measure, and to give you glory. Jesus, we humbly come today knowing that we don't understand all of what you're doing, but you tell us over and over and over in your word to not fear. Give us freedom from fear right now. Let us be a testimony to a dying world that you are here. We thank you, Jesus, and we ask this in your precious name. And all God's saints that are on this podcast right now would say, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.